Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Bob Anderson. I'm a visiting scholar in the Center for South Asian Studies, as Dr. Susu is. She, however, is the Charles Wallace Trust visiting scholar, very important, important form of recognition. We're very happy to have you here. And she's going to talk about the uniqueness of downtown area. Since downtown Yangon has been downtown for a long time, she has almost full historic sweep to do this. She's, please, come in. She did her PhD in architecture at Mandalay Technological University in 2006. And she went as a postdoc to Vienna, also to the Vienna Technological University. And she's since then has gone twice to Vienna, yeah. I think. And we have her here now in Cambridge. In 2012, she won the Green Apple Award for her essay on the famous Secretary of Buildings of Yangon. If you know the city, they were once architectural marvel for those of us who like old buildings. But they have been luckily at the last minute saved from destruction. Dr. Susu has worked on a whole variety of subjects, very ancient like Bagan and Pulu, ancient cities, but also urban housing in Yangon and in Mandalay. Right? And even more recently on post-cyclone reconstruction. So she's a very versatile person, and we look forward to this conversation about the uniqueness of downtown Yangon. Thank you. And of course, there will be time for questions afterwards, and we welcome you upstairs to the center for a glass of wine and to meet her if you have time. Please.
Thank you so much for introducing me. Good evening, all ladies and gentlemen, and thank you so much for making your efforts and time to come here for my talk. I'm very privileged to have a talk here today, as Cambridge is the university that I wish to be since I was a student, probably undergraduate of architecture students. So I'm happy, so happy here today. And I'm going to talk about what makes Yangon very unique. Yangon, I was born in Yangon, and my childhood memories are around the downtown Yangon because my high school is a former St. John Convent and now called La Gadu. It's in the heart of downtown Yangon, and my father's old office in downtown Yangon. And all my childhood memories are vested with the spaces and places of downtown Yangon. And I did my PhD here because I feel like we have this historic living core. And how would we make it really sustainable and intact even though we try to fulfill the needs of the modern day requirement? I don't want to wish my historic city center to be in a mess, actually. So I keep on looking since 2003, but I'm not a historian. I don't look much from the historic aspects, but I look from the perspectives of urban planning point of view and the legislations we have for heritage in terms of urban planning and heritage and what we can do. And when I did my postdoc in Vienna, I mostly looked at the heritage management aspects of the historic center of Vienna and Budapest, and what are the things that we can have implications for downtown Yangon or things like that. When I was at the airport, the immigration officer asked me, "What is the reason of your stay here?" And I answer him that I came here for our shared heritage. Yeah, of course, I feel so, because you know, it was our downtown Yangon was planned during the British colonial time, and the places and spaces of it are nested with our common creations and memories we had at that time. The buildings built in Yangon were not exactly not the same as not as the one that we built. The buildings built at that time were not like the ones we built before, yeah. And the buildings that you built there, British engineers and architects and Indian engineers and architects built there, were not exactly the same as the way they used to build in here in London or in India. So there were some fusion, some creation formed there, and it's what to safeguard. For example, in a later period, the combined walks of expats or of from different countries become more creative in a way like, for example, in the City Hall is still standing in the center of downtown Yangon. The design became a mixed design for three-story arcade with, of course, the colonial architecture of Bombay with decorative elements of Myanmar, which sits firmly in the heart of downtown Yangon till now. And these kind of stylistic changes could be also seen not only in building at that time, but also in the historic records that I recently found in the municipal administration report of the city of Rangoon. The logo used there in 1926, in 1931, we can see that the people at that time really try to bring back to the local context of while they are forming the city. So it's that makes Yangon unique in terms of architecture and even in their urban pattern, because the British engineer gave supremacy to the stupas already on the land in the creation of the city pattern. And that makes really unique for downtown Yangon. Till now, if one and only city in Asia with historic core largely intact were to point it out, it would be Yangon. It is the photo taken in 1939 from the corner of Sule Pagoda, Sule Stupa. And this is the photo I took recently in 2016, that we can see the Sule Stupa here and a mosque there as in ancient times. And what is the special quality of downtown Yangon? It's diversity. This is the city hall that I mentioned. I shown the picture, and Sule Stupa is here, and Emmanuel Church, the Anglican Church, is here, and the mosque is here. It's very rare in Southeast Asia or even in Asia that you can see different religions of different buildings representing religious building representing each religion in a very small area together. So that makes Yangon downtown very unique. And this is the sketch plan of British forces in 1852. And bring back to the memories before British time, long before British time, because it was Dagon village since 11th century. And according to the records, it's a small village in a low-lying area, often waterlogged land south of Chao Lagoon Pagoda and current site of Sule Pagoda. This is the Sule Pagoda area at that time. But this sketch was done in 1852. And at that time, the area was like that. The very swampy, waterlogged, and In 1755, Myanma King Alang Paya upgraded Dagon into a new town near around here and renamed it to Yangon. And King Tayawadi, who followed him after a few decades, Yangon was not in the place of present-day Yangon CBD, not here. Present-day Yangon CBD is here, but it was a little bit north in the present-day Dagon Township of Yangon. In the town plan of new colonial capital of Yangon, Lamador wrote here, at that time it's called Gordon Street, was the starting point, and nevertheless adopted the Sule Pagoda here at the center. That's why we really feel that this street pattern should even be safeguarded. Even if we cannot for the whole area, we should definitely do it for the historic core, because they give supremacy to the existing stupor and put an island in the middle of the, in the heart of the pattern, of the textbook pattern. And the essence of the urban pattern is laid in a well-planned center with the Sule Stupor in the middle, and center with most important administrative buildings near Sule Stupor, and commercial and social buildings surrounded them, and mixed residential and ethnic buildings further to the east and west, like you can see in this plan. So approximate areas of Yangon in 1755, this is the one that I redrawn from reading Pia Pan book. Everybody who know Yangon, Rangoon, have already read up his book. Tried to redrawn is after reading his book, and 1755 is in red color, and 1853-1 is approximately blue color that I try to. This is the map that I drawn for my PhD in 2005, just before the capital moved to Naypyidaw. Because this land use map was based on my field study, but it was, I feel, in a way that it was useful, because there was no land use change, almost no land use change till then. When the capital moved to Naypyidaw, some of the administrative building uses supposed to change, but most of them left Yangon office in Yangon. But some of them changed. For example, secretariat is now on the way for change of use. And also the hotel and tourism building here as well. And road company here, and one ministry was taken the place, and now it became a bank, this place. So there were some land use changes, and this map was just before it happened. And Yangon has thousands of historic properties that date back before 1950, and it shows that the city is home for the highest number of colonial period building in Southeast Asia. And another unique factor of Yangon is 70% is shop houses. In most of the Southeast Asian countries, they have several buildings left, very prominent buildings, but not this large amount of shop houses in percentages. And that makes Yangon different from other Southeast Asia historic set goals, as vibrant, living, and everyday life, the historic center. Yangon downtown express a rich diversity of architectural styles, decoration, and cultural influences, as it is continuously developing city core, because it was it never lose its importance since 1852 till now. It was always vibrant, the most important economic hub of the city, and it is till now. So there would be some change from time to time, but our challenge is how we would manage this change, to the how we could meaningfully conserve the city center of downtown, while giving way for modern needs. In some blocks, land ownership and the design of individual buildings really show diversity. There is Jewish, and here is biggest Buddhist temple site in downtown Yangon. So these are quite closely together in several blocks. In some blocks, the historic streetscape, especially this is the Bansodan block that we normally called, is largely intact with prime heritage on the perimeter of this block. But this block was actually used as the area for industrial and warehousing support for the historic dock. And it's really called for revitalization. But the challenge is, what would be the real allowable intervention control for these kind of, especially these warehouses. These warehouses are highest potential to be home for the facilities that downtown is missing, like social, cultural facilities. But to what extent we would allow for the intervention? This is a very interesting question, and then we did some design workshop exercises for this blog during our ADV funded project Heritage Walks on Downtown Yangon. And some downtown streets, example Shwebonda Street, at the heart of Yangon's Indian Quarter are the Yangon's most beautiful boulevards lined with ancient and religious trees. So when we talk about downtown Yangon, the uniqueness is diversity, the urban pattern, the blocks pattern, and also spaces and trees, heritage trees that we can call. And these heritage trees are not just standing as trees, these are religious trees that I would show you some more pictures. And this figure is very interesting because this is the boulevard that I have been talking about. And this, from this, we can really try to connect to Shui De Gong, because this road, when we go to the north, it can be a potential green belt linking to Shui De Gong. And we have been talking about having a tram on the road leading to Shui De Gong, like once Yangon was a home for trams, and why not we bring it back? Because when we look at the possible alternative transportation modes, probably trams would be the best because of many several reasons. It's not so much concerned with uniqueness, but that's one. And Yangon downtown is a place for diverse living communities. Okay, we have trees, places, spaces, street pattern, buildings, and what else? The communities. Because even for Chinese communities, this building show a lot of history. Because this is four different Chinese temples or clan houses in that building. And it was very important center till 1960s. For they call one old Chinese man was explaining me about the shoemaker temple's house in this place, about another different clan house, so even a Chinese community was very diverse in downtown Yangon, and still some of them have memories, because he was very happy explaining me about this building. And it probably took longer if I sit for longer time. And what is very special, as I said, diversity in terms of community and the religious sites associated with these communities. We have a synagogue, we have several Buddhist monasteries, in a complex, monastic complexes, and stupas and temples in downtown, within a square mile, and many several mosques, and Christian churches, Anglican, Baptist, Catholic, all, and Hindu, Jain, and Chinese temples, different, many several different. So, but all these are existing in within a square mile that we can call. So it's really a diverse area. And residents of different income levels coexist side by side. This is from a street heading to Secretariat. We call Bogalese Street. And these two apartments, this apartment has a space inside is 2 times wider than this apartment. But what I have in mind at that time is that they placed these two apartments at one side, at one end of each end of that road. So they were beside that road together. I mean, so it was interesting to see, like, you have different floor areas, and actually still now the people staying in this building is much more is very rich compared to people staying in this building. So it's interesting, they coexist side by side, but this only one small example. And business of different types coexist side by side, it like Chinatown and many places. Some people might think that, oh, it's in a mess, but I feel like it's the street itself, it's also a life, daily life of Yangon people. Yangon people really like going around, going along these streets and buying things and meeting friends, and this become public social dealing, public spaces for people. But we are sure that we need to make them in more systematic way, definitely. But it too much controlling, too much changing, probably would lead to losing the essence of the living culture of everyday life of downtown people and the people commuting to the downtown. And this photos is from the Boulevard Street that I mentioned in downtown Yangon. We call Tribonda Street now. And the absence of cultural, social, and economic segregation makes downtown Yangon very special. And we can really see in this street. Because at the end of the street, at the end of the street, there is a mosque. And at the base of every heritage trees, there is a Buddha image, Hindu images, or several different images. And the people living in that street, the communities, are sitting peacefully under these places. And it's really interesting to see a mix in that street, how they can be in a mix like this. And I haven't seen much while going around other Southeast Asian city center. Probably my feeling, my opinion. But some plots are typical residential commercial area with some significance, properties dating back 150 years with many merchant mansions, institutional buildings, and bank buildings along the wide main roads. These buildings are at the end of the Boulevard Street and the at the corner of Strand Road and the Boulevard Street. So they have prime building at the corners. And they are most famous prime historic residential locations. I mean, in downtown street blocks, it is different. The accents is different from one place to another. Some are mainly commercial and administrative, and some are prime residential location with significant and grand mansions. And also there are narrower streets with typical residential streets that we can call and with some blocks giving the experience of identity changes. So the street, I forgot to probably mention, like the street pattern that they form is the widest Sule Bagoda Road in the middle in north-south direction and 100 feet wide road in parallel going to that Sule Bagoda Road. And you have also four horizontally going 100 feet road. And in between, you have a 30 feet and 50 feet road. So while you are strolling along, walking along these streets, you can feel the identity changes within a few steps. within a few steps. That's is also another important essence of downtown Yangon. You can feel identity changes within a few steps, a few minutes. And what is special of that street pattern? Again, I would like to highlight is that they place the street blocks in north-south direction and not in east-west direction. And that has a special thinking behind, and we really like it, right? Because this allow the building residential blocks to have sunlight at least one in daytime. But with the uncontrollable building heights, it might change. But they thought carefully like that. And the wind coming from the south to flow through quickly to the north, and that's environmentally friendly city pattern that we really would like to safeguard. So what we are talking is that even though if we cannot stop the block-wide development from the easternmost and westernmost part, probably we really need the historic core to be safeguarded, including the street pattern. And Yangon downtown attracts a variety of investors with evidence of recent investment in rehabilitation of historic properties with expected buy-in from local property owners and tenants and developers and construction companies. So it's not like the core that nobody wants. It's the core that everybody wants for their business, for their residence, for their everyday facilities, for their education. So it's really a very vibrant center. So our challenge become how we would deal with it. So Yangon downtown needs to be reinvent itself, capitalize on its assets, unique heritage, and identity to emerge as a destination to live, walk, and play, while maintaining its essence as a living and diverse center. That calls for actually upgrading infrastructure. I only show you the beautiful pictures, but not the back alleys situations and many other things that we need to solve. A traffic is really severe in downtown. Nobody wants to drive through now, these kind of things that calls for upgrading infrastructure and improving living conditions. Because they actually all historic buildings, residential buildings especially, are much better in living conditions than the recently built concrete boxes. But the problem with the historic residential building is that they need maintenance, especially in wet areas and roofing. But then the question came up from the ownership issues and who is responsible to what and who would pay for that and things like that. So it's really a bit complicated. And maintaining residential function is the challenge and also a very important task to maintain the vibrant living city life, downtown life. And community and keeping the historic identity. So when talking about historic identity, it's not only about building, but also it's also streets, pattern, spaces, trees, and people, intangible heritage, the way that they use the spaces and places and their intentions to keep on using the spaces as they have been using for several decades in more systematic way. So there's a lot of challenge. And there is a need for alternative positive return on investment, more respectful to historic streetscape by understanding the development pressure and the character and value of the historic environment, the history and nature of planning in the area and its constraints. And more importantly, the constraints of the national and local economy to fund actually any works that we need to do, and the relationship with the private sector, and the cultural and social conditions, or the constraints of national and local politics, not only fund and politics, etc. So after all, it's all about people and all their environment, their success, progress, and the failure. So it's a long, big challenge ahead. So when we talk about uniqueness of downtown Yangon, we would think downtown Yangon separately from the most important landmark of Yangon, that's Sredagon. Or we would link it together and think for a better future together. Because the essence of planning pattern at that time can be seen in this picture suggested by eye view from Yangon from the point south of Monkey Point. More or less, this is, I think it's quite respectable till now, and sympathetic to this accents. But we really need to make sure that we have some limitations in downtown Yangon to give away for a Sredagon view from the sea or even from the strand. Because when we analyze about it, this is from a book in 1984, what is in people perception? People think about Sredagon together with downtown Yangon. Because when I came back home in my childhood, my school bus bring me from downtown Yangon along the Sredagon Pagoda Road and pass through Sredagon Pagoda from side and go to my home. This is my memory, and there should be really some connections in thinking about planning for these two areas, not as a separate things. Because in current protection system of Sredagon, people are thinking from visual lines from different points, and this is a protected area designated by Yangon City Development Committee in 2013 August, and now they managed to keep the building height limit to 62 feet and penthouse to be 78 feet. It is really good, I feel, for this area. But we still need to make sure more research on to what extent the area, the protected area, should be. If we consider Sri Rigong for World Heritage nomination, I mean buffer zone, not as a protected zone, core zone, but as a buffer zone. Because the views from Yangon River, the views to Sri Rigong Stupa from Yangon River and the Strand Road and some points from downtown also should be safeguarded as well. So we need analysis of these kind of things. And it is interesting to see an urban area of Yangon in 1917, because it was the urban area they thought at that time and they planned together at that time. I don't mean that we would take all these boundaries, but at least we should take some part of these boundaries to make sure that the strategic view from sea is safeguarded, as I said. But it's interesting to visit the boundaries, the historic boundaries, that historic planning boundaries. I would like to explore further more. And this is the left as Cantonment area and Royal Lakes. And I think that makes Sri Rigong to be standing in more green area. And it was good. And this is the map that I prepared for my paper in 2015. And it was based on map produced by Yangon City Development Committee, the Sri Rigong Protected Area. This is the area that's shown around here. And the downtown conservation area draft map prepared by YCDC at that time. I tried to combine these two areas and think as one buffer area, how it would be, or something like that. And these are the parcels that YCDC proposed at that time. And my thinking is that if we nominate Sri Rigong as a World Heritage, this would be the goal definitely, or it can be a wider. And would it be possible to pick something like Secretariat here as another parcel of core? Because we can have two core inside one buffer. But the story would be different. Telling the Sri Rigong story alone in nomination would be something that would be different from telling a story of a historic, commercial, and religious core of Yangon. So this would depend on how we would love our story to tell, and how we can really manage the site as meaningfully as possible. So that really call for to safeguard the uniqueness of downtown Yangon. If we cannot safeguard to the level that it can be a buffer zone, this concept really would go away, and we probably be left with the Sri Rigong protected area for nomination, and there would be questions asked best to us how about views from the Yangon River to the Sri Rigong Pagoda. So these are the things that we really need to think about to safeguard the uniqueness of downtown Yangon. My conclusion is that, there is a sentence in UNESCO World Heritage Conventional Operational Guidelines, like the respect due to all cultures require that cultural heritage must be considered and judged primarily within the cultural context to which it belongs. So I feel like up to till now, we are in the stage that we can move forward to the better condition for the downtown Yangon. At least some important and parcels to be quite safeguarded, and the area, the wider area, to be at least as a buffer area for these most important parcels. And the way that we should do is, of course, according to our cultural context, not exactly the same as you're doing here, but probably you are as our shared heritage that I said, probably you are the ones who would more understand, who have more understanding than the rest of the world about these buildings and spaces and places, and have some shared memories together with us. So would welcome you to think together with us more about how to safeguard the uniqueness of downtown Tredegold to enhance the way for nomination for our most significant landmark, Tredegold. Thank you very much.